Can you all hear me? Good morning. It's so good to be with you. So yes, I was born in Romania. And the fun part of today is that I'm going to preach in my third language. And above that, I have to be fluent to make sure you understand, right? So God is so good. I was born during the communism. Never ever until I had 17 years old. I've seen a Bible or hear one single word about God or love or someone to, just to touch me and say, hey, God is love. God loves you. Nothing. Zero. I grew up as a teenager. I said, okay, my father was an alcoholic. He was beating my mom almost every day. It was terrible. So I said, okay, if this is life and there's no answer, there's no... And I had a lot of questions, right, as a teenager. What is life? Is there eternity? Is there something else? Is there a creator? Is what we're doing here? And so being a teenager, I said, okay, I'll just go out and try to find answers. So I got involved in small gangs, local gangs, inappropriate friends, right? Alcohol and all those things, and I said, "Okay, let's make some life. Let's try these things. And obviously, it didn't took me anywhere, only to depression and anxiety, and try to kill myself. I was like, "Okay, so this is life. I'm not willing to to live this life." Praise God, my father, my dad was invited to a local Christian church, a Baptist church, with my mom. And they accepted Christ. It was for real. They received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And so my dad was desperate. He was panicking. He's like, "Oh, my son is lost. He's in so much misery." So he was inviting me to church and trying to use any engage possible. And he was like, and I would say no. I would say, "I know you. I've seen you every day. How can I trust you now, right?" So anyways, he was just trying hard. And so he tried something new, something different. And he's like, "You know what? There are a lot of beautiful ladies at church. And I know you're young and, you know, you're exploring." "You know what?" I said, "Okay, player, you want to play with me?" Of course, he got my attention, right? But I said, okay, player, you want to play with me? Okay, I'll go next Sunday." And the funny part is that the next Sunday, actually that weekend, none of the youth were at church because they were going to a camp. I got so mad at my dad. I was like, "Let's talk. Do you want me to meet all your, I don't know, older folks?" Anyways, he got me the second time. I went the second time, the second Sunday, and I didn't understand anything. I was totally lost and confused and angry with life, angry with everybody. But then they invited me to a Christian camp to play soccer. I was very passionate about soccer. And so it was there. It was in Argentine. The ministry, it's Word of Life Ministries. They work with youth, and they organize a lot of youth camps over the summer. Anyways, that was the first time I heard the gospel. The first time. I was almost 18 years old. I knew right away that I was going to hell. I mean, I knew right away that I was a sinner, that I was lost, and I was a big sinner. But at the same time, they gave the message of hope, right? They talk about Jesus. They gave the answer. They preach. They explain the gospel. And I remember because it was January 6, 1995, somewhere 9:30, 10. It was a late meeting with the youth at the camp. But I remember that's where I got saved. That's where Jesus came into my heart. And that was the day God saved me. Right after that, I got answers. I got my confusion cleared out. I started to ask the right questions, started to go to church. Nobody ever, nobody ever to say, "Hey, go to church," or "Be motivated," or "Live for Jesus." No, I was on fire since then until today. So I didn't need it because Jesus is my Savior. So God took me to a Bible school in Argentina, and I studied theology, and he laid on my heart to be a missionary. So I got married in Argentina. I've been a missionary in South America for almost 9 years, Argentina, Chile. And then with my wife, we went back to Romania for another 13 years, planting a church, leading youth ministry sports, sports events to reach many Orthodox that they have some kind of knowledge, but they don't really know Jesus. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And God brought us to Salem just 8 years ago, and we're planting a new church at West Hills Community Church, and I'm the lead pastor. And praise God, it's growing slowly and very healthy. But we're actually just 4 days ago, I met a new couple from Venezuela, and they just got saved just this week. Yeah, I have their picture. And so we're going to start a discipleship with them. So there are many people that are open, and the Holy Spirit is working in many people. But we don't know it if you don't go to talk to people and just ask questions and just start talking about Jesus and all of that. So I'm honored. I love Sergio. I love him dearly. He's a very good friend of mine. So I'm honored to be here, honestly. I don't take it for granted. I don't take it that I could say, hey, guys, I've been on 3 continents serving God, opening different ministries. But that's glory for Jesus, right? We have to stay humble. But I'm honored to continue to learn, and I'm honored to continue to be humble and let Jesus shine in our life, right? So that's just a little bit of version about my story, okay? But let's go to God's Word. I think today you may be surprised, because this is a message that is not preached. Actually, maybe in my entire life as a Christian, I've heard once or twice about what I'm going to talk today. And it's not quite easy, but it's beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to talk about the crowns in heaven, the crowns in heaven. And actually, the Bible is talking about very specific about 5 crowns in the Bible. Of course, you're going to see some illustrations, but think about it. That's a human, let's say, image, but I believe it's something different, something like majestic, something unique. Something absolutely amazing. This is just an illustration. So the heavenly crowns mentioned in the New Testament that believers can look forward as a reward for faithfulness to God. So God, not only that, He wants to bless us here and help us learn to be faithful, because He's faithful. But there is a reward. Actually, there are more than a few for being faithful. And God wants to motivate us. It's not that we're, you know, we don't have motivations. We do. God has so many ways to encourage us. And I'm sure this morning He wants to encourage us to look forward to the best things, to the greatest things, right? In His presence. So those rewards are, we're going to have those rewards, these rewards for the faithfulness to God. The Greek word for translated crown in the Bible, it's Stephanos. It's the source of the name Stephen the martyr, and it means a badge of royalty, a mark of honor. The first century church faced incredible struggles as they embarked on the Great Commission. The New Testament writers encouraged them with words of God's promises to them. God's promises are so important. Often we struggle. It's easy to forget the tremendous victory that we have in Christ. It's easy to get used to it. The only begotten Son of God. Let's walk through these crowns that we're going to have. And the most beautiful thing is not that we're going to have these crowns for a selfish presentation in heaven. That's not going to happen. It's for Jesus' glory.
Amen.
It's for Jesus' honor. And that is so, so beautiful. The number one. Let's go to the number one. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Number one, the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. We get this crown because we love Him. I mean, we love Him like 100% because we don't love ourselves anymore. We serve the Lord. We live for the Lord. We receive strength to overcome temptation and endure trials through the love of God, right? Without His love in our hearts, trials can cause us become bitter, critical. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." To receive it, we must love the Lord more than life. Mark 8:35, "For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." So we are going to see in the future worse time. There are going to come worse time than this. If now we think we have a lot of trouble and a lot of political and a lot of confusion, let me say that the future is not so bright on this. You know, things will happen, but Jesus is coming, and He's using His people, us, and now we have an amazing opportunity of grace, like incredible grace, to get everywhere on this planet to talk to anybody. I could travel today in the United States and all the states and talk to anybody. Nobody would stop me, right? Only the financial. I can't afford to fly all over. But you have that freedom. You have the opportunity to talk to people. You have the opportunity to share the gospel. But the crown of life, sometimes called the lover's crown, it's for all of those, they love the Lord more than life. Right? All right. Number two, the crown of rejoicing, called the soul winner crown. The crown of rejoicing, called the soul winner crown. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at His coming? Isn't it you? For you are our glory and joy." The greatest work you are privileged to do for the Lord is to bring others to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's probably the most beautiful and privilege that we have. Now, we have to ask ourselves why, okay? Why it is so important, why we talk so much about, you know, leading souls to Christ, you know, giving the gospel, preaching the gospel, explaining the gospel, talk to our neighbors, to people around them. Why it is so important? First of all, Proverbs 11, verse 30 says, "The fruit of righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise." That's the wisdom, because it is wise to win the lost. That is the wisdom. The words here, there are many other translations that are saying captured souls is talking about winning souls. And the only way to be winning souls is to just spread the gospel. It's just be passionate about the gospel. Be compassionate with our community. Find ways to plug yourself in the community. I've served for about 4 or 5 years at Salem Free Clinic, praying with people, interpreting for people. We've been helping people in need of move things. We've been helping restore some homeless families, Hispanic homeless families in this case. There are so many ways to serve, to demonstrate that we love our community, that we love people around us. There are many, many ways. We just need to find that answer in our hearts and understand that this is wise. Yeah, that's wise. Second, James chapter 5, verse 20. "Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins, because it is a work against sin." As we move forward and we serve the Lord and we share the gospel and we serve in our community and we are a church, a live church in the sense that we're compassionate, in the sense that we're going out, in the sense that we love each other and we demonstrate it. We demonstrate that outside. Why? Because this is a motive, a reason for joy in heaven. the heaven rejoices. The heaven rejoices. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. My friends that I met just a week ago, Daniel and Catherine, they accepted Christ just this week. They allowed me to post it. They said, yeah, no problem. We want to give testimony that we have Jesus in our hearts, that Jesus is our Savior. And so it was so beautiful because I talked to them and they were secure. They knew. They became believers. And it's not because I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I know how to talk to people. It's not that. It's the power of the gospel, right? Yeah. It's the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit convincing the hearts, right? And who am I and who we are? A beautiful instrument. The voice, the communicator, the ambassador, right? The messenger who's bringing great news. There is a bad news. We're all sinners. And people need to know that they are sinners. But there is a good news. Jesus came to die for us on that cross. And not only that, he resurrected. He's alive. Like forever, right? Amen to that. And so winning souls for the Lord, people being saved, that is the sound of great rejoicing in heaven. And this week, it wasn't only for one. It was for two. And I'm sure God saves people every day. Even now when we talk, God saves people. It's just beautiful. It's the sound of the great rejoicing in heaven. But not only in heaven, we should learn more to celebrate. I mean it. I mean, we should. Believe me or not, I even save some money for those kind of things because I like to celebrate. So if something like this happens, I go for a really good breakfast or a really nice dinner. I don't care. We want to celebrate. We just want to rejoice and celebrate and say, hey, I love you. Hey, I just want to, I'm just going to buy you dinner. Come, let's celebrate. Let's talk about spiritual growth now. Let's talk about the importance to be part of a church, right? God is so good. The sound of great rejoicing. If we would be able to see the sound of rejoicing in heaven, we would be amazed. We would be amazed. But you know what? We believe God's word. And so that joy, that rejoicing, I'm pretty sure that if I'm compassionate with people around me, I'm going to feel some really great joy in my heart just to serve, to give the gospel. But not only that, I want you to go deeper. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says something that amazing. It is out of this world. I'm not going to pretend I understand that 100%, but I believe the Bible and I can have peace. And I don't think I want to be someone like shining. but hear me out what Daniel is saying, okay? And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, there you go. You lead someone to Christ, here's what Daniel says, like the stars forever and ever. Now, don't take this like Star Wars, okay? That's not going to happen. But it does have a sense of beauty and wonder. And that it's for God's glory. It's not for us to shine in our own way or to say, hey, how big you are and how great. No, that's not about that. It's always about God's glory. And it's just beautiful. So someone who is wise, okay, and someone who turns many to righteousness, who leads many to righteousness, that's what Daniel says about these people. It's just amazing. So how can we win souls? Let's go a little bit more specific. I know as churches we talk a lot, but let's be more, I would say, pragmatic, more specific. Okay, how do I apply, right, these things in a very practical way? So we know, and we've been hearing a lot, we can testify with our lives, right? Others see Christ in us, and we show his love working in life situations. We demonstrate that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, you yourself are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. I mean, let's be honest, people see you. I remember when I came to Christ, I went back to the gangs and I said, hey, I don't know how to explain this. Hey guys, but I'm out. And that's the worst phrase you can say. I'm out. That's when they get more angry. That's when they will look for you. That's when they will try to harm you. I mean, really harm you if you say, I'm out. But I said, you know what? Jesus saved me. I want to go to church. I want for God just to change my life. I don't want this anymore. I don't know what God has in store for me, but I'm willing to move in that direction. It was terrible. They didn't want it to accept. It took a while to kind of get out. Praise God, during the communists, we didn't have guns and things like that and huge traffic of drugs. But they were dangerous. They were fighters. And I was one of the fighters. I mean, fighting. Crazy. And I'm ashamed even to remember. But that's where God, you know, that's when God saved me, before something worse could happen. And so I told him, you know, I want to be different. I don't want that life anymore. Okay, two of them, they spit. Is that the word? They spit. Escupieron. They spit on me. And man, if I didn't have Jesus, can you try to imagine? I was one of the fighter, man. And I'm no kidding. I mean, I was just crazy. But you know what? I just stood there. I smiled. And even now I remember. It's hard to remember something like that. Let's be honest. Yeah. Put yourself in my shoes, right? What would you do? Would you say, hey, hallelujah, I feel great? No, right away in your heart or in your mind, some kind of angry or challenges. It would challenge you. Let's be honest. It would challenge you in your old nature to be angry. But you know what? It is amazing, because when you have the Holy Spirit, that's not going to happen. And I actually smiled and I said, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to do anything. And they were like, what? You're not going to react? You're not going to do anything? You're not saying anything? And I said, yeah, I want to invite you to church. Yeah. And you know what? Three of those are saved and married and they have a really good life right now with Jesus. And some, they are still out there, okay? And then I managed to invite, 15 friends of theirs from the neighborhood to Christian camps. And some of them, they got saved. God is so good, right? It's just an example. So it's because our testimony. God is transforming our life. People, they read you. You can be whoever you want to be. People, they read you and they read me. They know if I'm fake. They know if I'm just kind. But they know if I'm real. They know if I'm compassionate. They look at us and they can see Christ in us. They can see Christ in us. And even in simple situations, at work, many times there are, you know, you face trouble, problems, you know, something happens, but then you as a Christian, you shine, you know, you take care of what you say, right? You're careful, you know, maybe you're kind in the situations, other are aggressive. There you go. Testimony. You are a letter. You are an open letter and they read it. But of course, now people are not saved just because they look at us. People are saved because of the message, because of God's word. And people are saved because of the gospel, and they need to hear the gospel. So with our voices, the second one is with our voices. Let's remind ourselves, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. With our voices, verbally witness for Christ, trusting the Holy Spirit to give power. Here's the exciting thing. I've been in missions now for 25 years. So I could say, hey, I had this experience. I had this in Romanian, in Spanish, English. This is the third continent that I'm serving, and it is an honor. It's always the same. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God's message. You use your voice. God uses your voice to tell people. Maybe one day or someday you and I could be very depressed because we have troubles, because we have problems, maybe financial, maybe emotionally, maybe socially, maybe something more serious than that. But here's the thing. We don't have to stop to use our voices to give hope. Maybe someone else is in a worse situation than you. And remember, you have hope in Christ. Amen. And some people, or a lot of people, they don't have any hope at all. And so instead of looking at my extreme, like, uncomfortable situation and saying, hey, I'm depressed. You know what? I don't want to talk to anybody for a few weeks. Remember, you still have hope. Jesus is your Savior. You still have the Holy Spirit. You're part of the body of Christ. You can at any moment talk to a dear brother. You can call your pastor. You can call a good Christian. You can pray with someone. You can ask for prayer. You can say, hey, can you come pray for me? Because my day is just off. Can you come pray with me? Let's pray. Let's have a coffee. You can always go for a coffee to talk to someone to be encouraged, right? We have so many ways to lift up ourselves and to just be encouraged somehow. But remember, the lost people, they have no hope at all. They have no understanding at all. They are completely confused. And God is using our voices. That's beautiful. And it is not you that is changing hearts. It is not me. The beauty of God's message is that God is ready. He's so ready. The Holy Spirit is so powerful, and He's so ready to work deeper and deeper than we imagine. And so what? I have a negative reaction. That's what we have all the time, a negative reaction. Just continue to be faithful until God will save someone here, will save someone here, save someone here. I remember I was in Paraguay on a mission trip for 1 month, and we were going through schools with different programs, and I talked to 320 people personally in 3 weeks. It was a mission trip for 3 weeks. And I had the blessing, the opportunity to one-on-one or two or three or group or small groups to talk to them the gospel for 3 weeks. If I'm not wrong, I talked to more than I remember, but I do remember something. 120 people, they really commit to accept Christ right there at the school. I remember that. I have no idea what happened with these people. I have no idea if they, because we were trying to connect them with churches, so I don't know. But what I know for sure is that I'm just a messenger. I'm just an ambassador. I'm so full of joy just to know that the most of them, they never heard the gospel. They had no idea what is the gospel. They don't know, they don't have a clear understanding about Jesus. And let me say, even around us, there are many people, they don't know who Jesus is, for real. They don't understand. They heard the name. They can hear a very nice song at the radio, Christian song, but they don't know who really is Jesus, that He's the Savior, right? So, but you will receive power, and we rely on God's power. Now, I'm going to say one of the things that we do also, it's why it is so important, because it's with our giving. The reason we can move forward and we can achieve greater goals as the body of Christ, as believers, is because we're generous givers as well. And it is important. I've been a missionary for 25, full-time missionary for 25 years. Let me say something. God has been incredibly faithful. Sometimes it was less. Sometimes we had abundance. A lot, but God is always faithful. And it's about the mission. It's about people coming to Christ. It's about His local body. You know? So God is going to do amazing things when we are as well generous givers. Generous givers, it means to sacrifice as well, trusting the Lord. And even myself as a missionary, as a pastor now, I will always said, I'm going to keep this very high. Why? Because the reason I'm in ministry full-time is because God had used people they sacrificed, honestly. And so I'm going to do the same. I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm just going to sacrifice, and I'm just going to look up an opportunity to give. Let's read really quick Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and 17. And you, Philippians, yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, says Paul, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. It's actually a blessing to be a generous giver. It's actually a blessing because we understand we give for God's kingdom. And we understand that we're investing, okay? How many businesses and a human perspective we have? We have so many ways to invest in what we have, but the greatest one is the church. Remember this: there's no greater place to invest. Invest yourself. Invest God's resources. And let me say this: I've been sitting with people; they have more than I would ever have, and some of them are friends of mine. I'm humble, and I'm just amazed to see how God is blessing in ways that they never expected. But these people, they support like 25, 30 missionaries. They gave to local, they give to local church. They invest their resources, even their fancy cars. They just put it to ministry, and I'm like, what? But then when you hear that, actually, when they were students and they had just little, they didn't have great businesses. They've learned to do the same. That's when they learned to do the same. When actually they were learning to be faithful with little. They were learning to be faithful as a student. They were learning to be faithful, just trying to make a business work. But I'm positive 100% that God is the one who's taking care of your business, of your life, of my life. He's in charge. So if we recognize him, he's going to lead us in the right direction. And that's never selfish. It's just a generous heart. Because God knows our situation, right? He knows our finances. And I'm saying this in times that are very troubling, right? Very confusing, and it's hard. But let's move really quick to the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearance. The crown is earned by believers who looks for and loves the second coming of Christ. Not all Christians, they are like focused or they totally love the coming of Christ. But some, they just love it. They just expect. They just every day they are like, I want for the Lord to come today. oh Lord, come today. They just have a very special meaning, very special, And I would say, it's something very special. But I think we all have to learn to have that attitude. We all have to learn that the best is yet to come. The best is in Christ. The best, He went to prepare a place for us. So the best is not here. I know we have to be thankful, we have to be faithful, and we have to be a testimony, and we have to enjoy what God gave us. The nature, the family, things that He provides. We have to be, we have to enjoy, But the best of all things are in His presence, in His eternal presence, because I know He's present right now here as well through the Holy Spirit. And if you're a believer, obviously, He's part of your life. He's in your life, okay? Now, the number four, the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This is the crown for the faithful, obedient overcomer. The chief shepherd himself gives it. It is eternal. Matthew
I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 41. The one who receives a prophet, because he's a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he's a righteous person, will receive a righteous person reward. So Jesus, the chief shepherd himself, will give it. This is absolutely amazing. In 1 Peter, the apostle encourages the elders to keep serving the church diligently and not get tempted into going after worldly things. And when the chief, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, again, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, it's interesting that when Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, when you read, we see that he looked up, and what did he see? You remember? Try to remember. A revealing of God's glory. Amazing, right? A revealing of God's glory. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It's interesting because the word glory in Greek is the word doxa. It refers to the nature of God, his majesty, and the honor he and only he is due. It's worth mentioning that the name Stephen, hear me out please, the name Stephen is from the Greek word Stephanos. I have the beauty to say it exactly the way it is in original, Stephanos. Which means crown. Did you know that? Which means crown. it's very interesting. Crown of glory he would see and partake of through Christ. It is important to recognize that we ourselves are not worthy of glory. Only God is glorified. But his glory is like a mark of honor for the believers because we are his. The more we look to him, the more we can understand how glorious he is. So I believe in that very, very struggling and very challenging, it was very, very hard for Stephen to overcome. As human, emotionally, and you can try to imagine. But at the same time, I believe something that sometimes I don't hear it preaching. I believe he had 100% strength from God. Do you believe that? I believe God helped him overcome to the point where the heaven is opening. What? How beautiful that can be. Can you imagine the heaven is open and you see Jesus at the bright, standing at the bright of God? He was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was giving him power right there. Power to overcome. So yes, there is a part that was difficult physically, right? Emotionally. But I truly believe God had Stephen in his hand, and it was with him in a very special way, because he was dying for his glory. So beautiful. And nothing is lost when it is for God's glory. The last crown, the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 24, 25. Do you know that in the race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to retrieve a perishable wreath, but we are imperishable. In the Apostle Paul's first letter to Corinthians, he uses a metaphor to the Christian life, referring to a race. There were very common words for him to use because it was local. It was there were some races, and some kind of sports they were using. In Rome and Greece, people loved public games. There were many games. So Paul writes, Paul is encouraging the church who was going through some significant trials to keep running because, like an athlete, there was a prize waiting at the finish line. He uses public games as an example, and everyone respected or at least admired, all these athletes in those games. But the most important is that he points to salvation by grace, and this crown is incorruptible. It's not perishable. Jesus himself urges his followers not to put too much focus on investing our identity in earthly treasures. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, okay, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, right? Where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves breaks into steel, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. So we're talking about the crowns in heaven. And these they should just motivate us. They should just give us an extra, you know, extra motivation to move forward, to understand that God is it's so great, and it is so much, and so amazing things are waiting for us. If we believe we're blessed and we have, you know, God is taking care of us, and we have so many, you know, blessings here on earth, and of course as a church as well, it's nothing compared with his glory. It's nothing compared with his presence. It's nothing compared with the glorious presence of God in Christ, and with all these rewards, and even personal rewards, okay? Even personal rewards. I'm going to finish with this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God of Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain, please read with me, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you where? Reserved in heaven for you. The imperishable crown is a mark of royalty that will not be destroyed like the things of this world. Even our most priceless possessions don't follow us to the next life. Does this mean we can't have nice things? Look, I don't believe in the gospel of prosperity. I'm just going to say it out loud. But I truly believe in a God that is blessing, God that is taking care of you. I believe in a God that is generous more than you and I we ever thought. It's not that he doesn't want to bless us. It's not that he has so many ways to provide to just miracle. He can do miracle. I'm going to give you, I have por lo menos, I'm sorry, I'm speaking in Spanish. I have many examples, but I'm going to give you just one because of the time. We don't want to go over, okay? So, but there's one that, actually two, okay? I'm going to give you two examples. We were missionaries in Romania and pretty humble, nothing fancy, just serving. I was doing Bible study over the week with 120 students from universities. We were in the process of planting a church, organizing youth ministry and sports events, lots of things. Okay, but financially it was a hard time, and we were like, okay, Lord, we know you can provide. It's been like 6 years we haven't visited our family in Argentina. We would really need to. We can't save much. Is there a way? Can you provide for us? And a missionary from America that was visiting, I don't know how he heard about that need. I never spoke to him. I never told him. I was just praying. I never said to him. And he comes one day and is like, I heard you guys need to go to visit your family in Argentina. And I'm like, yeah, true. Okay, I'm going to pay for everything. So they pay the flights, and they gave a couple thousand extra. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to learn something that I didn't learn really well about God, that he actually wants to be very generous. and he's generous. It's just that he's teaching us things. He wants us to put our hearts in him other than earthly treasures. And the second one is here, okay? I had an older Ford Ranger that I've been using. And I was very happy with the Ford Ranger. Using it for, the community, we help people move, we used it for a ministry, a church, whatever needed. The Ford Ranger was there. And so the engine went off completely. Yeah, I couldn't save it. I needed a change to put in a new engine. So, okay, I said, okay, it's time for me to get something else. So I was saving some money with my family to get a small SUV. We thought, okay, we need an SUV for the family. I have two kids, and sometimes we go away as well. Okay, let's try to do that. But then in my heart, I knew God wants to do something else. I have a very good friend from a church from Lacey, Washington. And he asked me, hey, how's your old... I mean, I never talked to him, but he's like, about the truck. And he's like, I knew you had a truck. Is it running? Is it helping you serving in the community? And I'm like, no, it's gone. And no, I had to sell it for cheap. And they didn't say anything. He went to talk to his church. He didn't tell me anything. And after about 3 months, he calls me and he said, we want you to buy a newer truck. We want you to buy a newer, a really nice one. I'm like, really? A really nice one? So they helped me buy a really nice truck. And we're using it for family, for ministry, for God's glory. And we give God's glory. Why not? He has provided something generous. So if you see me on a F-150 really nice somewhere driving around here, it's because God is good and He provides. And it's very. This is a very plain example, right? I know we can give many, many, many examples, you know. But I just want to say that God has so many ways to be generous with us, you know. And when we are prepared, He will provide even a miraculous. What's the word, man? You got to help me here. He's going to do a miracle. He's going to provide in ways that we never thought about it. And so let's remember this. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. It's wrong to think that a Christian has to be miserable materially. No, that's not. God is the God of all provision and supporting. And if you educated yourself and you have a business and you're striving and you try to build something, ask God's help. If you're not doing it, you know, for devil's sake, no. If it is for the good, ask help from God. Ask for God to open doors. Ask for God to help you. We teach many young people to do this, and I've seen God transforming life as never before. In my church in Bucharest, years back, there were 16 couples that got married in 3 years. From that group of university that we were having Bible study for university group, the most of them are doing great in business. The most of them are in church serving. The most of them are giving very generous, and the most of them are very committed and blessed. Why not? This is great. God has always an amazing purpose with us. Let's just remind this: we have incorruptible, eternal blessings. Amen. But the most important is that we have righteousness by faith in Christ, and we have it right now in Jesus Christ. But what we have now is also rejoicing in the completed work of Christ. The devil will try to somehow deceive us. Let's just try to stay focused on rejoicing every day in the work completed at the cross. When I got saved, I knew right there that I can't feel guilty anymore. I knew that I have a new life in Christ. I knew that now I have a purpose, and I decided to be a missionary right away. It wasn't too long. It was like, I'm almost 18 years old. What should I do with my life? Of course, my parents, they had great, amazing plans for me to go to university, to do this, do that, which is not bad at all, which is perfect if that's the road you have to do, and God wants you to do that. But I knew in my heart God was asking me to be a missionary. I knew it 100%. Never told me. Never ever somebody told me. I just knew that I had to go and serve the Lord 100%. And even serving as a missionary, I did got some good theological education, you know, some half college. And even now I'm with Sioux Falls doing a Master of Divinity. And so education, it is important. And I love it. But Jesus Christ is more important in the center of our life. And to have access to the glory of God, man, that is amazing. And to have eternal life, don't you think it's absolutely amazing? I'm still mind blowing. Thinking about we have eternal life in Jesus, and we do. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time together. We love you. We want to keep serving you. We want to learn, continue to learn to be faithful. It's not that we look for crowns. It's not that we look for rewards. It's just that we want to continue to have a powerful relationship, personal relationship with you. We want to continue to serve you with meaning, have a special meaning in our relationship and serve in our community. And we want to see others come to you. Father, help us be faithful. Help us in every area of our life. And this morning, I just want to ask you to just encourage our hearts to know that all the best is yet to come. All the best is in the future. All the best is with you in heaven. And I pray, Father, all this in Jesus' name.